Honestly, ladies, I feel like we could be here for like 5 hours talking to organizations. So hopefully, I simplified it enough. But this is definitely something that I really have as testimony of. It's something that has really helped me in my life, and honestly, it's helped my family during COVID. I led them through a lot of guided meditation, and I'm sure that was difficult for everybody in this room for various reasons. Even the parts of it that we enjoyed, there was opposition and all things. So there were good things to be found, but they're also having to do as well. So I'm really grateful for all that I learned about meditation, but really, most importantly, the Christ-centered meditation, which is what I mainly focus on. So I'd like to start by sharing a quote with you from President Nelson. He says, "Quiet time is sacred time, time that will facilitate personal revelation and instill peace." So I really feel like abundant peace is found in this time of stillness. And it's important, I mean, all of us have busy lives, every single person in here. Even if your life feels a little boring and slow sometimes, we fill it up with lots of different things. And so we have to discipline ourselves to be able to find time to be still. But just like Cassandra was talking about on the trails, it doesn't have to be sitting. I have a lot of meditation cushions. It doesn't have to be sitting on a meditation cushion and being silent the entire time. That stillness can be found. There's a moving meditation. As I'm moving on my mat, as you're breathing in that vinyasa, that is stillness with mind and breath. We're just meditating. We're focusing on one posture and one breath. One posture, one breath. So it's a form of meditation. I just don't want you thinking that you have to be sitting on a meditation cushion to be meditating. So I'm going to kind of share the spiritual piece of meditation, and then we'll get to a little bit of the scientific piece, how it's actually good for our bodies as well as the spirit. And we know this really from the scriptures, because we're taught that first Heavenly Father created everything spiritually. And so really that powerful tool of meditation is that we're trying to create something spiritually first, in our minds, in our heart, before we create it physically in our day-to-day life. So meditation is a practice of higher communication with the divine, a way to deepen your roots in Christ, improving your relationship with yourself and with Heavenly Father. President Nelson also goes on to say, "My plea to you this morning is to find rest from the intensity, uncertainty, and anguish of this world by overcoming the world." So again, that rest, that stillness and that rest. I don't know about you, but I'm tired all the time, literally all the time. And I can find rest in Christ after I kind of like get those wiggles out, whether it's a run or meditation or yoga, whatever it is, getting some of that fidgety energy up and then being with Christ. And there's lots of different ways for us to be with him like this. So one thing that our prophet said in 2022 was he talked about the three different identities. So when we're doing this Christ-centered meditation, one thing that I really love to do with people is focus on a mantra or a phrase, where we're just repeating it or they're thinking it over and over. And so when I say mantra, I'm really talking about using I am statements. What's your sacred words? We're taught that Heavenly Father referred to himself as the great I am. I am that I am. And it's really interesting. We are constantly on a daily basis using mantras, and they're not often used in Earth positive light. I have 4 children. If they come home, they go test, it's I'm so done. Or if, you know, you don't like what you presented or the work that you put in that day at the office or the meal that you made or your kid tells you how disgusting it was. I am the bad cook, right? We see that, and then the body can pay attention. The mind draws a picture, and it's, there's Nicole being a bad cook or whatever it is. We create it spiritually first, and then we create it physically. And so those I am words are sacred and very powerful. And I have this handout that is over here on this little table. You're welcome to take it with you. They're just different positive affirmations, positive mantras from the scriptures. So I am strong. And I have the scripture here that it goes with. You can practice those on a daily basis. But back to our prophet. So he gives us 3 of these identities, 3 of these mantras. He says, 1, I am a child of God. 2, I am a disciple of Christ. 3, I am a child of the covenant. And when we think meditation, I will tell you, when I went through my 200-hour yoga teacher training, we had to meditate for 2 hours on hard floor, just like this, and you could not move. And I felt awful after my body hurt. Meditation doesn't have to be like that at all. Meditation can be, I believe, in a lifestyle of floors and ceilings. Ceilings are, I'm shooting for the stars, and I'm going to sit with Christ for 2 hours today. Floor is 1 minute. I'm going to focus. I'm going to put all my energy, all of my heart into 1 minute of repeating to myself over and over, I am a child of God. And I'm going to try to see Nicole as a child of God the way that Heavenly Father sees me. Which honestly is not how I see myself. Most of the time, you can think, I am a child of God. What does that mean? What does that look like? Who is she? Who is that woman? And I try to invite Heavenly Father into that practice. Okay, I'm your child. What was that like before I got here? How did you feel about me? Now here I am in this imperfect body, in this imperfect world, with imperfect habits. Am I still your child? Do you still feel good about me? And if I can just stop in for a moment and reflect on that in quiet stillness, and oftentimes with my eyes closed so that I can try to see more clearly, He will show. He will reveal it to you. Maybe some of He speaks to us differently, just like Janae had all of us focus on. How does He speak to you? How can we know how He speaks to us if we're not spending time with Him? So I would invite you, I love these practices, these identities that our prophet talks to us about, those three identities. And maybe just try it out for 1 minute. Maybe it's just 30 seconds. I don't really care what it is. Just find a way to deepen that connection with Heavenly Father, to root down even deeper, because you'll feel better about you. When my kids are having bad days, it's because they've forgotten who they are. So where can we find meditation in the gospel? A lot of, and maybe this group is totally different, when I've done this in other groups, they're like, this is weird, like, what is meditation? What are we doing? It's all over the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just want to tell you that first. It's in the standard works. I wrote it down here somewhere. More than 170 times. It's in conference talks, the Liahona, the New Era, the Ensign, all the different magazines from way back then until current day. Hundreds and hundreds of times. It actually talks about quite a bit. And when we talk about praying, when we talk about pondering, when we talk about stillness in the church, those are all rooted in meditation as well. So just a couple of quotes that I want to share with you, some of my favorites about meditation. This is from President Benson. He says, to make a fast more fruitful, and what fast is from? How great is that, right? Thanks. Yeah. It should be coupled with prayer and meditation. So to make a fast even deeper, we always start with a prayer. And that's very common in our church. We start with a prayer. And then we just move right into it and like, oh yeah, you need to get So, but if I meditate, if I make it a little bit deeper, then I can last a little bit longer in my fast. President McKay says, I think we pay too little attention to the value of meditation, of principal devotion. Meditation is the language of the soul. It is defined as a form of private devotion or spiritual exercise. Consisting in deep, continued reflection on some religious theme. Meditation is a form of prayer. Meditation is one of the most secret, most sacred doors through which we pass into the presence of the Lord. So on that note, I want to skip a little bit forward to one. Oh, here it is. Okay. So one of my favorite scriptures about meditation. So thinking about that, what President McKay says, that it's the sacred door that we pass through. What if they looked at some of these spiritual chores as sacred doors instead of chores? What if fasting, and I'm not kidding you, it's really hard for me. I've found what works for my body and it is not skipping breakfast. What if I approach that as a sacred door? What if attending the temple or doing your calling or ministry? What if that was a sacred door? So I love in Dr. Newman's section 76, where we have Joseph Smith and Sidney Rigdon, who were in deep meditation, it says. So here they were, just close brothers, loved each other, right? They loved each other like brothers. And of this experience, Joseph says, And while we meditated upon these things, the Lord touched our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, and they were opened, and the glory of the Lord shone round about. By the power of the Spirit, our eyes were opened, and our understandings were enlightened, so as to see and understand the things of God. So I think about that chapter. I think about what Joseph Smith says. And I think how sad we would be if that chapter wasn't there. And that the way that they were able to open that sacred door and write the words of Doctrine and Covenants section 76 was because they got really, really still. Because they focused their minds and their hearts on Jesus Christ. And they meditated. He talks about how they meditated, how they were still and they focused. And I love Elder Bridge's talk, his recent talk in General Conference. That is the one that we could just read over and over and over again. But he talks about this stillness. How would our prayers be different if we just sat with the Lord and we weren't talking much? I'd love to talk to Heavenly Father. I kind of feel like a long time ago, President Hinckley, he said that a prayer should start with to Heavenly Father in the morning and end at the end of the day in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And the entire day is a prayer. And I do that. My husband probably said I talk a little too much. And I really believe that there is just so much power in just zipping up my mouth and sitting there. And just sitting and being with Christ, inviting him in, like Bishop Bridge. Am I saying his name right today? Bridge? Fudge. Thank you. Fudge. So, but one thing since we gave that talk that recently I've been doing with my children at home is before our dinner prayer, or if they're there for breakfast or lunch, but on occasion they're all there for dinner. And so I've been inviting them to just close their eyes and think for a moment about all the people that were involved in that food that's in front of them. About Heavenly Father who gave us this food, about the farmers who picked the roots, about the grocery store man who bought it from, about Mom who made the yummy food, and you get to eat it with this amazing body, and it keeps you alive, whether you like it or not. Right? And to envision, what does that story look like? And then after we come and sit in it and we think about it, and we thank Heavenly Father for it in our hearts, then we pray. That's a form of meditation. Sounds a little different, but it's a form of meditation. It's a way for my children to connect deeper with Heavenly Father and with people who worked so hard on that food. So oftentimes our physical eyes can sometimes block us from seeing with the spiritual eyes. Meditation really allows us to thin that veil. And that's kind of what Joseph Smith was saying, that veil just became so thin. And sometimes it can become really uncomfortable to sit in stillness. Literally, sometimes physically, it can just be uncomfortable to sit still. And other times it can be uncomfortable because we're not really sure what we're going to feel. We might not like what we feel. And the interesting thing about emotions and science behind it is that when you have a thought, chemicals go off in your brain, and you have an emotion. And I always tell my yoga students, if you don't like what you're feeling, think something different. Simply think something different. We're not always aware of what we're thinking. And unless we give it a little attention, how can we change what we're not aware of? Right? How can I repent of a sin I'm not even aware of was a sin? How can I change a thought, a behavior, a habit? I'm not aware of it. And if you sit in that stillness, the Lord is that veil and can open your eyes to reveal it to you. Which actually, as uncomfortable as it can be a really healing experience. Because that healing is hurt. It hurts. It's painful sometimes. But we have to get through it. I used to teach preschool years ago, and I would always read to them the book, we're going on bear hunt, we're going on lion hunt, those two different versions, and we can't go over it, we can't go under it, we can't go around it. The only way is to go through it. And when I'm willing to make a little time to sit still with Heavenly Father, I actually go through it a little bit quicker, surprisingly. A lot of us, I'm sure, are fans of Sister Holland. They don't have time to read all of this, but if you want to jot down the title, she gave her thoughts on meditation. It's titled Filled with All the Fullness of God, and she gave this talk in May 1996. So she talks about how oftentimes she's really stressed out, and overwhelmed. And she says how she gets through that. She says, I turn off my phone. I lock the door. I kneel in earnest prayer. Then I curl up in a chair and I meditate. I contemplate. I search the scriptures and cry out again and again in my heart, completely focusing my mind and will and presence on God until I can see a clear picture of Him. I like to think of His loving outstretched arms with such a loving image. I begin to feel my connection with Him in a confirmation of His love. Sister Holland is one of my absolute favorites. I know that she just watches over us all the time, but she has so much to teach us. So then she goes on to talk to all of us women. She says, I know what you're thinking. She says, now stop it. I can hear you saying, Pat, get real. We don't have time for this. We don't have 5 minutes to dry out here. And she goes on and on. She says, I know all about that. I have a busy life. I'm married to a man who is busy and is calling all the time. But she says, if it is a high priority in your life, you will find ways, early or late, to be with God. Some things, at least, on some days, may have to go. Some things will have to be laid aside, particularly the petty, the trivial, the egotistical, and the envious. There is a price to be paid for this kind of communion, but fortunately, it is not a painful price. But it does require time and the best powers of your concentration. If you love her like I did, she got so much out of her time in meditation. I know that we can too. I ran out of time and I have like a million more pages here. Can you see that? All right. Well, I need to dive into our meditation in about 2 minutes, but I want to share with you an example of meditating with Christ in the scriptures. So we kind of talked a little bit about prayer. I've done that with my children in real time, in my personal prayer time. And honestly, we all hear the voice of the Lord differently. I feel it. I feel very deeply. And so I will feel His words more than I will hear His words. But I also like to meditate over the scriptures, which honestly I need to do more in my current day life. I used to be better about it. Now I'm reading and searching and studying and like trying to go on the day. But if you really want to just set that aside for a moment and try to meditate on the scriptures, this is one of my examples that I like to share. One of my favorite stories in the scriptures is the woman with an issue of blood. I think in one way or another, every single one of us can relate to her. We are women. We have had issues, whether it's with blood or family or life or something, right? We've had some kind of issue. And she dealt with that for, I believe it was 12 years, maybe a little bit longer. And so as I studied that passage, for that entire story, I just decided I was going to go to the space in my home where I like to meditate, and I tried to envision her. Close my eyes. What does she look like? I wonder what this woman looks like. I wonder what it would be like to have that kind of faith for 12 years to suffer that much in these mortal bodies. Even if you're in good health, these mortal bodies can hurt and cause discomfort. And then she had faith. That if she could just touch the hem of His garment, what would the hem of Christ's garment be like? What would my hand look like if it were to reach out? Could I have that kind of faith? Could you have that kind of faith? What would it be like to just sit there and see the whole story in your mind's eye? I love The Chosen, but not The Chosen. What does it look like in your mind? As you ponder and meditate over that sacred experience, and then she healed. What would that be like? What would that feel like? And maybe that's not my story. There are many things I pray to be healed over that aren't healed yet. But it's wonderful to go through that story in my mind and see it and feel it. And then hopefully maybe even one day we have it. So there's so much more that I can teach you, but we're done at 5, right?
But we're not.
Well, these years are hard and I got something that are hungry. So, I will end with, oh, I didn't even tell you the physical benefits. So you are going to take this home with you. I've got these handouts in here. There are so many physical benefits. I'm going to let you read over that on your own time. But I did want to share with you one last final quote. You know what? I'm not going to be able to find it, so that just means I'm not supposed to read it. But before I guide you through this meditation, I just want to bear you my testimony about the principle of meditation. And if you've gotten nothing out of anything I said today, I just want you to know this. I want you to know that Heavenly Father loves you so much that He knows you by name. And as I prayed for you the last couple of weeks, I have felt the love that He has for you, just a sliver of it. But I know it's there. I know if you're willing to just meet Him in a quiet place, whether it's on a trail, or maybe in a temple, or maybe in a closet or a car, then if you're willing to open your heart, like we did in meditation, specifically open up, then you can feel that same love that He has for you. And that can give you confidence and hope and healing in certain ways, not maybe the ways that you want or that you expect, but in other ways that are maybe even better than what you're expecting. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and try to experience what it feels like to just close your eyes. And I'm very sensitive to anybody who is not comfortable closing their eyes. Please don't. You don't have to if you don't want to. And that's why we have this picture up here. Maybe it's not up the whole time. I don't even know. But I'm going to listen. Yeah. That's how I can see it. All right, well, this is the meditation, or this is the picture that I have in my meditation space, my yoga space at home. And I love it. I want you to either maybe close your eyes, and maybe there's a different image that calls to you. Or you can go ahead and open your eyes and kind of fix your eyes on that image. But wherever you are, go ahead and just allow the eyelids to get heavy. Maybe they're closed, maybe they're just kind of heavy. Go ahead and take a deep breath in through your nose. As you exhale, just imagine you're just letting everything go for a moment. Maybe your arms are outstretched. Maybe they're just gently on your mat. Or excuse me, on your lap. With each breath, I want you to imagine that your lungs are being filled with the light of Christ. Not the light in this room. Not the light that you are wanting or expecting, but His light. The light of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Filling your lungs with every inhale and releasing any heaviness with each exhale. Breathing in, inviting His love, His light, His rest, His positivity. And exhaling anything that is weighing down. Oftentimes we hold these rocks, they're heavy. Just imagine that you're handing that heavy burden over to Christ, even if it's just for our time together. See if you can hand it to Him. See yourself letting go of the anguish, the intensity, and the uncertainty of your burdens, and the burdens of this world. That heaviness, that rock, that boulder, whatever size it might be, it's safe in His arms. It's too much for you. It's too much for the person next to you. Don't hand it to them, hand it to Christ. He knows exactly what to do with it. Picture yourself rooting deeper and deeper into Christ, rooting down in your Savior with each inhale and each exhale. See if you can open your heart to His all-encompassing love, again, even if it's just for a moment. Inviting your Savior into this moment with you. Try to imagine what He would look like. Maybe He's sitting here at the table with you. Maybe you're out in a place in nature. on a beach in the mountains by a lake. He comes up to you, placing his hand in yours. Feel the temperature of his hand wrapped around yours. See the kindness in his eyes. Notice that there is no judgment there. He just loves you. He knows what you've been through. He knows what weighs you down. He sees the rocks that you still hang on to. He loves you just the way you are, right here, right now. See this image. As you sit with your Savior, he invites you to start separating the light from the dark. Maybe this isn't a task that you can do alone, but you are not alone. You are with Christ, your friend, your Savior, your brother. Like you're separating a load of laundry, separate the thoughts, separate the pain, separate the light from the dark, the heavy from the light. And over each rock, each heaviness, safely in the hands of your Savior. As you hand things over, you notice that the heaviness, the darkness, that the rocks, they start to disappear because he knows what to do with them. They are safe with Christ. You're surrounded by light, surrounded by love. Inhaling even deeper, feeling that love, feeling that light. Your heart lighter, with your mind lighter, he begins to reveal who you really are. As you sit with him, you start to feel, see, and hear these mantras coming in and out of your mind. I am rooted in Christ. Maybe even it's just for a moment, I am rooted in Christ. I am filled with immeasurable amounts of love. I am overcoming. I am His. I am gaining and regaining confidence in myself through Christ. And open to his something better. I am filled with endless and eternal potential. See that potential. Trust that potential. Inhale these truths as they begin to fill every cell of your body. What would it feel like to believe these truths? To sit with your Savior? I am filled with limitless power to create. I am finding power in stillness and sacred silence. I am braver than I am afraid. Choose the mantra that feels truest to you.
And then as you hold the hand of your Savior, repeat the mantra over and over in your mind for the next few moments. Trusting that the mantra that you chose is the mantra that you need. See yourself rooting deeper and deeper in your practice of meditation, in your stillness with Christ. See your faith grow. Feel your faith grow. Become the faith that you are feeling. He reminds you that He needs you right now. Right now, in this very moment, He doesn't need you perfect, He doesn't need you better, He doesn't need you different, He just needs you. Right here, right now, just as you are. He reminds you that you can come back to Him like this, at any time, in any way, in any moment. That as you come unto Him, you will always find rest. Notice that your heart might be a little bit softer, that this storm that was swirling around in the mind might be a little more untangled, a little calmer. That calmness comes from Christ. As your Savior returns to His Father, who is your Father, He embraces you, reminding you who you are, of your greatness one last time. Feel His arms as they wrap around you, giving you the most loving embrace of your life. As you let go of the embrace, and He returns, you trust. You're lighter, you're braver, a little more whole, a little more centered. Take a deep breath in through your nose, blend up with all that positivity. Go ahead and unclench your lips and exhale all the air out. Next, inhale, place one hand on your heart and one hand on your head. Feel the rise and the fall of the heart and the belly with each inhale and each exhale. Take a moment to thank your body for being here, to thank Heavenly Father for this amazing creation that carries your spirit every single day. Take a moment. Everything, one final time, into the hands of your Savior. Inhale once more, all together, filling up all the way to the top. And then exhale, open mouth. Inhale with a big smile on your face. And exhale with a heart full of gratitude. Go ahead and flutter your eyes open once you've opened. Absolutely no rush.